Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Under the Helmet.
You do your thing, all right? Don't be nervous, okay?
The show that looks at long-term player value in fantasy football.
It's the moment right here. We're going to have to decide what type of team we want to be.
Building dynasties each and every week.
I don't even know your name. What's your name?
Chad Parsons.
I'm telling you, man, you're leading the league in hydration.
I got a dynasty team reaping rewards for the next decade.
KD Flower.
You may beat me, but you will not outwork me.
Tim Torch.
There's only one winner, Chad.
Find their written and premium audio content at uthdynasty.com.
Playing it safe in Dynasty means you're going to lose.
Stop talking about it, man. Let's get this going right now.
Welcome to Under the Helmet, looking at some long-term player value in fantasy football. Got KD Flower here. I am Chad Parsons of uthdynasty.com. And we are finishing up the series, going to move onward to Senior Bowl coverage. Got KD down in Mobile for next week, covering the Senior Bowl. And we got tight ends, state of the union. Where were we in 2021 and where are we going in 2022 with this position? You can look up the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. You can find quarterback, running back, and wide receiver discussions of this ilk. And the first thing I wanted to ask you, KD, because tight end a lot in Dynasty is about the have and have nots. But I also feel like this is going to be a pretty rare free agency class. Could be in a good or bad way, because that 2017 draft class with the first rounders of Evan Engram, OJ Howard, David Njoku, they're all free agents, all slated free agents. And I would think in all three cases, it could be really great news in terms of there's reasons all three of them have kind of mired. And with their current team, current situation, they produced some, but not recently. And so what's kind of your handicapping of which one of those can turn it around, have a tight end one season in the future? Is there any of the three that you don't hold out hope for? Because that was a lot of pedigree. I remember all of them going late first round of rookie drafts in that maybe 9 through 15 or 16 zone at worst, because that was a lot of pedigree and a lot of athleticism coming out in that class. And frankly, if they've suboptimal in terms of those expectations.
Absolutely. I think if I had to put a dart on one of them, I would go with Evan Engram over Njoku and Howard. They've all had lost opportunities just as much based on team as learning the NFL game. But I think that Engram is more of that move tight end, can play that big wide receiver in a tight end body. For if he gets with the right team and the right opportunity, I think he has the biggest upside.
Yeah, as a pure receiver. I still remember all the talk was David Njoku was, raw, coming out young. And we've seen flashes, but the fact that they doubled down, and I know they had a coach that, you know, two tight end sets, and, you know, tight end is a critical position. But getting Austin Hooper on a big contract, and then could it be best player available? Sure, with Harrison Bryant. I get all that. But the fact that Njoku has not turned into a bigger option. And one thing I wanted to ask you about OJ Howard, if Rob Gronkowski was not brought back or brought into the Tampa Bay ecosystem there, would we be seeing, especially this year, a lot more receiving out of Howard? Because when I watch those games, he's just blocking. Gronk is running some routes, but they want to protect Brady. They want to chip. I get all that. But he's been literally out there for a ton of snaps and a non-invisible factor there in the passing game. And so Howard is the biggest of the three, the biggest mystery to me, because I understand, you know, a year ago he was coming back from a significant injury. It really derailed things. But 27 years old, round one pedigree, he did show some stuff, you know, early on. And it makes me wonder, because he's fallen through the floor. I mean, we're talking, outside the top 30, 35 tight ends. I mean, I can make easy arguments for all three of these guys, but Howard, the cheapest of the three, is one that I just can't get past of, like, he has fallen so far from, you know, at one point being maybe top 5, 6, 7 of the position.
If you're in a league that has start to tight end, I would want to just completely stack the box with guys that haven't succeeded, are way underrated, guys like OJ Howard, guys like David Joku, guys like Evan Engram. Put them all on your roster. You're going to be able to get them later, deeper in drafts.
Well, especially if you get that one cornerstone guy, right? I mean, if you get one stable option, these are the types of profiles that you would. I mean, they have a lot more appeal and a lot more impact and profit potential in start two, because they can be weekly starters for you. Obviously, the standard to be weekly viable is a lot higher in one tight end. And I think that's why your first response was focused around Evan Engram, because I think, and I agree with you, that he probably in one tight end has the best shot to be an impact or weekly play in that format where it's a lot more stringent.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, outside of Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle, and then of course Rob Gronkowski, who is pretty freaking old, Darren Waller is old, I mean, how much more juice do you think that you're going to get out of them? TJ Hockenson is on the borderline of that. But outside of those five guys, the rest is a crapshoot. Right. And it's a weekly game. Fantasy football is a weekly game. Who do you think has the highest ceiling on any given week, any given Sunday? I think Evan Engram has the highest potential on any given Sunday. I wouldn't want to start him every single freaking Sunday. But if I had the opportunity to know, okay, he's healthy, he's got a good matchup, and my other guys are on bye week, I got to go with somebody. Mm-hmm. That's when I go with Evan Engram over OJ Howard, over David Joku.
Yeah.
But do I want to have OJ Howard on my roster late as a value play? Absolutely. I'm not giving up on him 100%. I'm just saying the tight end position, there's studs and duds. But the duds can still contribute on a weekly basis. You have to have, if you're start to tight end, you have to have a lot of depth, a lot of depth.
Yeah, we know we're in a 16 team, two tight end?
Yep.
Yeah, right? So yeah. So you need a lot of options. Jordan and I are in a 12 team, two tight end mandatory. And yeah, I mean, we have 10 tight ends rostered, something like that. And
right.
You need lots of options. You need injury away guys, but these types of profiles are a lot more appealing the deeper you go. And I think you made a good point of startup drafts, because if it's not a running back where you say, let's see what happens, or maybe it's a free agent in some regard, and these happen to be free agents as well. But even in a one tight end format, if you're second or third guy, and especially if you're venturing close to 30 roster spots or more, that these are the types of bets to make, because they have a realistic chance of panning out. And, you know, I know Engram, we're talking to an audience that has plenty of Evan Engram just in general. And so it's been a tough hold, but this is kind of gritting your teeth through the past couple of seasons, what you've been waiting for. Free agency, the Giants, let's face it. I mean, what worked this year? Not Saquon Barkley, not Evan Engram, not, Sterling Shepard or Kenny Galladay or Kadarius Toney outside of like one or two games. Like, what went right? The answer is nothing. It was an absolute systemic failure on a fantasy front on that team. And so for Evan Engram to get away from that finally, at least now I think we're going to get more clarity, because the team's going to sign him to be the starter or to be that offensive weapon. Even if there's another guy that blocks, you know, for tight end, he's going to see plenty of snaps and opportunities. And if you take the average of the other 31 quarterbacks, likely he's going to have a better quarterback than Daniel Jones. So if this does not work out, then I think we can start pointing the finger inward right at Evan Engram more so than outward, which I think there have been legitimate outward explanations for things, especially of late as the Giants have been swirling the drain. I wanted to ask you about Travis Kelce, because he's going now, and it seems like it happened in literally one off season where, tight end one, and then we get now, it's January. We'll see how things change. In August, startups might be a little different. But seeing a lot of tight end 4, 5, 6 out of them. Is that too cute with the age factor? Does age 32 differ greatly from 31 at the tight end position? And I didn't get the memo. Is Kelce, is this just being proactive by the marketplace? Do you think the marketplace is getting too cute here by moving them beyond all those names that you already mentioned?
I would say Kelce is tight end 2.
Okay.
And so tight end 4, there's not a whole lot of difference. It just depends on the value, the round difference. If it's a start 2 tight end, and that's where it really matters. If it's start 1 tight end, even with 1.5, 2-point PPR, that doesn't move the needle as much as being a start 2 tight end. But guys like Mark Andrews and TJ Hockenson, those are really the only ones that I would consider in that upper echelon for early in the draft. You can get guys like Dalton Schultz for a song, and he is a reliable, he's starting to turn into a very reliable tight end 1. And so if you have to start 2 tight ends, he's only freaking 25 years old. For example, Dawson Knox is another one. He's a good tight end 2. He's 25 years old and he's a good tight end 2, but yet he puts up tight end 1 numbers. Dallas Goedert is another one. He puts up tight end 1 numbers, but you could probably get him as your tight end 2 depending on where you go. Kyle Pitts is a riser. He finished the year tight end 10 on the year for average, but he's just a deer. He's just a baby doe. He was born on my birthday, by the way. That's good. So that's a good sign.
Same year too.
No.
Oh, no.
Sorry. You know, that guy has exceeded what people thought he could do as a rookie. People were bashing him, taking him as 103 rookie in a tight end 2 last year rookie draft. You're not going to get the return on your investment. Tight ends take forever. Well, it's a weekly game. How many weeks did he help you win your week?
That threshold isn't very high for tight end to get into that auto start category. And
exactly. He was an auto start even when he did struggle.
Yep. Kelce, I wanted to do a dramatic reading. This is the last 6 years of adjusted points per game finishes for Kelce. 2-2-1-1-1-2.
Right.
So pretty good. Yeah. And he has a guy named Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes throwing him the ball. So that combination doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Now I think the question or the team building exercise you would do in a startup draft, I have a few trades here I was going to ask you about in a second, but I think if you have Kelce, there's not really a lot of looking around in the trade market you should be doing.
Right. There's because, not a lot of pivots.
Because you have him. I mean, you have one of the haves. And if you trade him and get cute, you could end up being one of the have-nots at tight end. So you got to be very careful because that could be like a 5 point per game, 8 point per game swing. If you go out into the woods, and this is kind of like the NFL, if you have a quarterback or don't have a quarterback discussion, if you trade Kelce away and let's say, oh, well, I have Evan Ingram and then I have, somebody else and I'm just going to, I think they have upside, but I'm going to trade Kelce away for help at wide receiver or a quarterback in Superflex. Or like you just say, I'm going to fix something else. I would just say, be careful because all of a sudden you can move from a guy that's scoring 15, 18 points per game to someone that scores like 9. And that's a big deal in a weekly lineup and the big weeks he can provide. And you can tell me whatever age he is, but I mean, 6 years in a row, he's been an absolute wrecking ball and situationally not like this to me screams Tony Gonzalez, Jason Witten, Antonio Gates. Like you get to this point in their career and the age discount starts to come. And where are we headed? Next year he's going to be tight end 8? Seriously? Like the moment, like this is the last year I think he's like that borderline, you know, between that top tier of guys you feel really good about in lineups and then everybody else. It's going to be laughable next year at 33 years old if he drops into the bucket of like, oh, he's going around, like, let's just say, you know, Pat Freiermuth doesn't have some massive breakout. Like, oh, he's going around Pat Freiermuth and, you know, everybody that, you know, oh, he's going around Cole Kmet and, you know, Dave Njoku and, you know, Irv Smith. And like, you're like, seriously, just because he's old, like he's still a rock star. Like, I think that's where we're headed in 2023, not to get ahead of things, but so
had,
I want to go ahead.
He had 10 out of 15 weeks
I know.
In double digits.
Yeah.
Where he could have won you the week at the position all by himself.
Yep.
And you cannot replicate that. Stud tight ends, I don't care what age they are so valuable because there's so much of a drop-off. When the other guys are scoring 6 or 7 or 8 points a week and you're putting up 20, 30, 40 points in a week, that's huge. That's a running back. You're adding a running back to the tight end.
Why is he not on a Tony Gonzalez track? Like, give me a good reason why he's not. Like, he's up there. He has 8 tight end 1 seasons. 8. Like, he's just, he's a churn out guy. Like, and if you draft him right now as tight end 4 or 5,
that's a bargain.
The odds of, like, even if you get 2 more seasons in the top 3 or 4, 2 more, like, that pays for itself.
Right.
The get cute factor. Oh, I got to take TJ Hockenson. Look how much younger he is. And maybe it's my old age, Katie. I don't know. Like there's a, like he's finished. Hockenson has been around, you know, tight end 4, 5, 6, the past couple of years. That doesn't move the needle as much as finishing 1 or 2. We know the drop off at that position. Now, right. Obviously you can win that because you get younger, but you have to get good. The other thing is you have to be at some point, you have to be as good for at least 1 season as Travis Kelce for all those years to matter.
Right.
Because if you just get younger, but if you didn't get better or the possibility to be better, that's trouble. It's trouble. 2 dominant years from Travis Kelce. And that's going to be worth like 5 years of TJ Hockenson or more, but it's not concentrated. It's all spread out.
Right.
You know, so you're taking Hockenson out to the age of 30. Is he still playing at the age of 30? By the age 30, has he even shown the propensity to be on some high-end track that the NFL is going to want him by that age or 31, 32. Like the actual years need to matter. And when you're moving down from an all-timer to someone that it's not like they're on, like could, based on what happened in year 1, could Kyle Pitts be on an all-time track? He could be. That's still way preemptive to say that, but he could be because he did something historic as a year 1 player. Hockenson with a couple of top 6 or 7 finishes in his first 3 years is not super uncommon, especially for a first round tight end. So that doesn't really differentiate him as some high end career arcing player of like, oh yeah, he'll finish. He's on the Lions too. Let's not forget. I just bring up Hockenson not to, again, I like Hockenson, but I'm just saying like, I want people to think about whether it's a trade or a startup draft, the type of valuation choices you're making, because there is a difference between an absolute stud at any age versus you're good, but we don't know if you're going to take the step forward.
But to be the devil's advocate, past history does not necessarily mean that they're going to replicate. Like, yes, Travis Kelce has been the gold standard of tight end year after year after year, but Mark Andrews surpassed him this year. And Mark Andrews is much less expensive than Travis Kelce. He's also only 25. So would you rather have Mark Andrews?
Well, Andrews passed him in cost too. So
has he?
Yeah. The stuff I track, yeah.
I mean, haven't seen.
Tight end two or three.
I've seen Travis Kelce still be
okay.
It
sounds like beyond Pitts, it may vary. Tight end two through four or five. And I just, so just don't be surprised if you get to, what round would it be? Maybe the third round of a super flex draft. If, oh, three, four tight ends. Oh, don't assume Kelce is gone. You actually have to check and make sure, because right. I know a lot of, you know, we're just used to, we've been trained for half a decade that, oh, it's the first round or early second, he's gone. Well, that may not be the case. So how about these trades? You mentioned Dalton Schultz, and I actually wanted to discuss him more in a minute, but Travis Kelce for Dalton Schultz and a 22 first in Superflex. Now, I didn't see where it was, but the discussion point would be, how high does that pick need to be for you to deem that a good exit on Kelce or maybe a good buy on Kelce?
Well, I would say in the top six.
Okay. Super flex, top six pick. And you think that's a good Kelce
top
exit?
Top six plus Dalton Schultz is a good exit from Kelce.
Okay. Because you figure probably a couple, I mean, no matter what you think of this class, probably a couple quarterbacks are going to be in that mix. There's
right.
going to be plenty of round one projected right now. Plenty of round one wide receivers. Probably a couple of running backs. So, yeah, top six. Would you be fine doing it? The other thing I would say is market value wise. Now, roster value and lineup value is a different thing. But, I mean, Kelce 12 months from now probably doesn't pull the pick alone. Right?
Right.
I mean, it might be a late first and maybe someone lesser than Schultz.
Right.
So this type of trade and a few of them I'm going to list out here. This may be your last chance to actually cash out on Kelce. I still don't think it's a great idea. If you're again, a contender and you don't really have a tight end plan and you could be dropping way down at the position, but this does feel like the last offseason you can get a haul like this, being 32 years old. All right, we got another one here. Travis Kelce for Lamar Jackson and Superflex.
I am not a Lamar Jackson believer.
I know, that's why I'm asking.
Right.
I think a lot of people would smash Lamar Jackson.
They would. They would. I'd want a little bit more.
Okay. Well, the interesting thing I would say is if you can get Lamar Jackson, shouldn't you be able to get someone like Dak Prescott?
Well, would be of course.
Well, no, I think they're similar values. So you may be able to just, you know, arbitrage this thing to a quarterback maybe you like a little better. Because you're probably in that, you're probably in quarterback 5, 6, 7, 8 range based on how this trade looks. So so I would say just keep that in mind. And then what do you think about moving from Kelce to Pitts? That one deal I found was Kelce, Rondell Moore, and a second for Kyle Pitts.
Say it again.
Kelce, Rondell Moore, and a second for Kyle Pitts.
That seems like an awful lot, but
I thought it seemed cheap to move to the clear, I mean, market-wise, the clear tight end one.
Right. Well, I mean, Kyle Pitts, I love him, and you want to be staunch about trading him. It depends. Is it a start one tight end?
It's a start one, yeah. It's just
start one with 1.5 or 2 PPR.
I'm not sure on that.
Okay. I mean, it just
what part gives you pause? The Kelce format. Part or well, no. Oh, the fact if it was 2 tight end, you'd be all over it.
If it was 2 tight end, I want Kyle Pitts.
I gotcha.
But if it's
you just don't think
other,
one tight end
then
difference.
I want the rest.
Okay, well, I just like I like Rondell Moore, but I don't think that's like some pivotal piece, and I don't think
it's not a second. It's not. It's Rondell Moore is not a pivotal piece.
Okay,
I don't know that he's ever going to be anything.
You just don't know
than,
why
like,
you would do it.
Hurt.
It sounds like.
Say it again.
It sounds like if you had Kelce, you don't like to some degree. You're like I don't really know. Like there's not as much of an incentive to do it. It sounds like what you're saying.
Exactly.
The cornerstone aspect, like just enjoy Kelce, put him in your lineup. And when the erosion starts, just you can still hold on to him. If evaluation drops to a second, you can just hold on to him.
Right. And the thing is, you don't have to go out and buy Kyle Pitts right now.
Right.
He's high.
Shouldn't you wait for something to happen, right? I mean, like an injury, a poor play.
There will be.
They switch over like someday to a quarterback.
Different quarterback.
All of a sudden, you know, or guess what? If Pitts doesn't take a step forward this year, right? You said he finished tight end 10 or so.
Right.
If he does not get into that group, right? The top, whatever, 3, 4, wherever that tier is.
If
he doesn't enter into that and literally like in the opening month of the season, right? There will be some opportunity that is not peak off-season mode of Kyle Pitts and then everyone else sucks. And, you know, you want to get Kyle Pitts and like, that's the drumbeat. And he's going 2 rounds ahead of everybody in startup drafts. And that's where we are right now. So he's part of pretty roster syndrome, right?
Yes.
You got to buy Pitts when he goes a month without a touchdown, Matt Ryan gets hurt and they go into the tank or, you know, some ancillary factor to create some semblance of a discount.
Yes. There's so many variables between now and September when the games actually matter.
Yeah.
Where you could still buy low on him, even in a 6-month period of time.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not a proponent of buying or selling Kyle Pitts right now at this moment. And I'm, again, same thing with Travis Kelce. Like, even if you are a quote unquote building team,
right?
You still need good players.
Exactly.
Travis Kelce is a good player. And unless you can get a boatload for him,
now's not the time to sell Travis Kelce, right? I mean, it's
exactly
he's an old tight end, not exactly the flashiest, piece of jewelry in the display case from January through week one. But you know what? He sure is flashy when you start setting lineups. So that might be what I always tell people is like, hey, I don't plan on contending. Well, Kelce might drag you there. So, I mean, start setting your lineup and see how the season goes. And you can always sell him midstream, but you at least took your shot. And you're like, I don't really want to hold him into next off season. Okay, I understand that. But you at least took your shot and you're 2-6 and things aren't going well and beyond Travis Kelce. And you're like, well, I think Kelce producing, I can get something for him. So that's a different conversation than here late January.
Yes.
You mentioned Gronkowski earlier as well. So he's got a few different factors going on. Tom Brady himself as a free agent, possibly, you know, coming back, maybe not coming back. And the buy sell line seems to be you can maybe buy for a third. You can maybe sell for a second. So how are you assessing Gronkowski in the trading market if that's sort of the buy sell line?
When it comes to tight ends, you're not going to get the value because of that 2 to 3 year window coming into the NFL. If you sell them for a third, what kind of third round tight end are you going to get? If you even expect to replace him, maybe you're deep at tight end, but still, what kind of player are you going to get in the third round of this year's draft?
Maybe a late day two tight end.
Maybe. And that's a big, huge maybe.
I guess you're hoping for a day three running back you really like.
Right. So
we're one of those mobile first round quarterbacks.
Tight ends like quarterbacks.
Take a while.
Not only do they take a while, but they age well. I would rather keep a tight end that's older and a quarterback that's older and let them ride off into the sunset on my team rather than sell them for a third round crapshoot, because that's what it is. In this year's draft especially, I think even second round this year is going to be a crapshoot. A lot of people are like, oh, this year's class isn't as bad as people think. Man.
TBD on that.
TBD. TBD. I'm going to be at the Senior Bowl next week, and I can't wait to see Sam Howell versus
you're
gonna
get
Tony
a real
Willis
good, yeah, you're gonna
versus
get a real good look,
Kenny Pickett. I'm looking forward. I'm so looking forward to it, Chad.
Well, because, I mean, basically, Katie submits a poor report, and that's going to torpedo some of this, like, supposed depth of the class, because there's a lot of notables there. And frankly, sometimes the best picks in round two, round three of rookie drafts are you're hoping for strong pedigree, strong profiles, and guys you like at tight end and quarterback, because wide receivers are tough bets there. And running backs, you don't know. You don't know until they actually get all the way to their draft position and, you know, don't get blocked on some depth chart, you know, that it's, yeah. So the quarterback is going to really be defined, certainly in Mobile this year. And okay, so you already answered this, but just to confirm, so is it Kyle Pitts and a significant tier break to everyone else? Is Mark Andrews within range of him? You alluded, and if you want to clarify with a quick answer, that two tight end, it's more about that massive tier break than it is in one tight end.
I think Mark Andrews is the number one tight end.
Okay.
Kyle Pitts is number two.
In all formats.
In all formats.
All right, there you go. Heard it here. Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
He feels like a high variance play with free agency.
Yep.
Now, one thing I always say is, if the player, you know, is in good graces with the team, they don't get out of town. Like, it, most of the time, it says something if the team lets them, quote unquote, lets them go, lets them get out of the building. He's had strong production in Dallas, but what happens if he leaves? I feel like there is a potential five spot swing, like up or down, if he resigns versus getting the money somewhere else and a lesser landing spot, poor pairing with a quarterback, something like that. He's right around 10. I feel like there's an argument if he resigns with Dallas to have him at 6 or 7, but yet
he's at 7 right now.
Oh, okay. I saw him at 10 someplace, but anyway, but yeah. But I feel like firmly in the double digits is applicable if he changes landing spots, and it's like, it's not quite Dallas, because it really has been highly conducive for him there with the Cowboys.
Well, here's the thing. You've got Dawson Knox, who has Josh Allen moving forward. You've got Dallas Goedert, who's got Jalen Hurts, who knows how long. Noah Fant could have Aaron Rodgers next year, especially if Sean Payton, who is now no longer a New Orleans Saint coach, if Sean Payton decides he wants to coach for Denver, you don't think that would happen? And I mean, right. Seriously, a lot could change if Sean Payton went someplace else. He didn't say he was retiring. He just said he was stepping away from the Saints.
Well, step away from this mess.
Right. So if Sean Payton goes to Denver and Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver,
right,
don't you think that Noah Fant would then supplant Dalton Schultz in that top 7 to 10 range?
Well, Noah Fant's the one I can't figure out. Like, I would say in the top 8 to 10, I don't really, I feel like there's not a ton of variance at tight end right now between like ranker to ranker or site to site or whatever. But I feel like Noah Fant is the one guy where a lot of the analysis I did, and I know the situation stinks, it's murky as heck, but I keep thinking, if they have a better quarterback, how does that make Noah Fant look? Jerry Jeudy, a lot of these, Cortland Sutton as well, these undervalued profiles, I would say, of, you know, they've done something. They've looked the part at various points, but I think Fant would be that one. Like, he, a first round guy that has done what he's done so far shouldn't really be valued dynasty wise as low as he is.
Right. Yeah.
And the situation is just as stinky. I totally get it. You got no quarterback to support all the talent they have on that offense. But Aaron Rodgers, that would change some things. That's all I'll say.
So there's going to be some cool offseason stuff, and it's going to affect some tight ends.
But Schultz going back to Dallas, I think that's, again, too many times I see people just assuming free agents are gone from their current spot, but we do this dance every February, every early March they get deals done. They, you know, there might not be urgency during the season, the year before they become a free agency. So when they get pressed and they get days away, a week away, whatever it is, deals get done. And a lot of these players, they probably don't want to go. You know, I mean, if they can get a market value deal from where they currently are, I mean, we're talking not to go beyond football. You have your, this is where your life is. This is where you live. Your kids might go to school here. Like,
right.
Your spouse and significant other might have connections, you know, of, you know, in the local area that you've been for years, you know, especially if you're coming off of a rookie contract like Dalton Schultz is. And so I just, you know, to assume that everyone is going to like, the Jets offered me a little more money, so I'm going to take it. Like, that's not, like, that's some players, I'm sure. Oh, I can get an extra $1 million a year. I'm taking it. Like, I don't care what team it was. I'm gone. But not every player works that way. And I just, more often than not, it's like you might look and like wide receiver, for example, this year, we see some like all-star cast of quote-unquote potential free agents. But the number of them that actually get all the way to free agency and actually change teams with a new contract, it's not as many as you're expecting right now. So I'm just using Dalton Schultz as a poster child for this, not saying he's definitely coming back or not or whatever, but just that more often than not, the ones that deserve it, they end up sticking around.
I agree. Have you seen any startup drafts lately?
Two or three in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Why?
So I'm just wondering, Travis Kelce, George Kittle,
yeah,
Gronkowski, Darren Waller, where are they going in comparison to Mark Andrews and TJ Hawkinson and Dalton Schultz?
Well, Gronkowski's way after. So
he's what?
He's way after.
Okay.
Who else? You know,
who's the tight end one off the board?
Oh, Pitts.
Okay.
Pitts, Andrews, Kittle, Kelce next, typically.
Okay.
Hawkinson, 5, Waller, 6, something like that.
So Pitts is a big projection, although it's not a unfounded projection compared to what he did his rookie season.
If he does build on that, he goes through the ceiling and he's untouchable.
Right.
I'm not going to say he's not untouchable now. It's still costly, but it's feasible costly.
Yeah.
But if he puts up like if he ends up going up to the tight end 2 or 3 or something, he's going to be like, I'm trying to think back. I remember when Gronkowski and Graham, I believe it was, remember they both showed flashes.
Yeah.
No, well, Gronkowski had a better rookie year. And then Graham just had some moments. I think he had like 4 or 5 touchdowns. And then they both broke out and they just zoomed through the roof.
Yeah.
Even in one tight end.
Deservedly so, though.
Yeah. And they become staple players for, you know, what was it, 5 to 8 years of just a run for both of them.
Right.
So, right. I mean, so that's what happens, though. I mean, and basically the only thing you have to add or change for Pitts is touchdowns. The dude had 1 touchdown.
Right.
If he scores 6 or 7 next year and he does nothing else different, I mean, he's right up there.
I agree 100%.
So that's the, so whether or not Andrews outscores him this coming year, like, it's on, like, if Pitts does that, then he's going to skyrocket even more than now, independent of the rest of the position.
But what I'm trying to say is, if you have the 1A and you had to pay top dollar for the 1A price, like Kyle Pitts, but you got the 1B for a discount and similar production, I think Mark Andrews is going to be that 1B.
And he's only 27.
And he's
been doing it with,
he's 25. Mark Andrews is 25. He'll be 26 in September.
Oh, okay. I have him at 27.0. It must be.
Yeah. Right. He's not 27.
Maybe he's 26.95 or something.
He's 25 right now.
I gotcha. So, and this is with questions about Lamar Jackson, you know, as a pure passer. So,
right. Exactly. So I think that Mark Andrews is one of those type of players that will succeed.
Oh yeah.
regardless of who he's got throwing to him.
Doesn't matter how many first round wide receivers they draft.
Right. Yeah. Well,
Andrews is still going to keep doing it.
Right.
Yeah. But I just keep coming back to, I think Kelsey's the play. Like, it's just stacking up the position. When you tell me Kelsey is in the tight end 4+ range, and then you say Darren Waller at 6, let's say, I mean, those to me seem like the plays. I mean, maybe I'm becoming an ageist in the opposite way of like, oh, 30's not too old. Yeah, it's not too old as long as you are a strong producer.
Right. Yeah.
And those two guys they're basically wide receiver ones for their team. So, when you can get, like, if you stack up 6 guys and like, oh, well, I can get the 6th guy. And can I replicate for at least a couple of years the guys that are going ahead of them? Like, seems like a pretty good deal.
Right.
All right. Any final thoughts on tight ends? Or you want to go off board with some of your final thoughts here?
No, just final thoughts. I'm very, very, very excited about the Senior Bowl next week. I'll be there for practices Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm not going to be there for the game, but I'll be watching the game with my boyfriend in Arkansas. But I'm looking forward to meeting and interviewing Jahan Dotson. I really want to – I love that kid.
Yeah.
And I'm also – I mean, this is a very talented group of guys, but yet there's a difference between – uber talented, like for sure thing, first round NFL draft versus, hey, these guys are the best of the worst. Like that, like the quarterback class. I'm looking forward to seeing Sam Howell, Malik Willis, and
everyone
Kenny
but
Pickett.
Matt Corral is going to be there. Yeah.
Right. All of them except for Matt Corral, and comparing them to each other, their workout, their practice, their footwork, their hips, shoulders, everything that you look for, and just their hustle on and off the field, their leadership, all those intangibles that you don't get to see in necessarily in the games. I'm looking forward to that.
Gotta see him spin it back to back. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, but overall between wide receivers, tight ends and running backs and quarterbacks, this looks like the deepest Senior Bowl that we've ever been to.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that. But I would also like to shout out to a new listener, John D, California, a coworker of mine. We started talking about, you know, first we were on access control and different projects and things like that. And then we started talking fantasy football. And so John D, I hope you're listening. I told you I was going to give you a shout out. Here's your shout out, dude. Hope you keep listening. This is a great, fun time. Off season in fantasy football is just as much fun as in season. So enjoy the ride. Thanks for listening.
Excellent. Yeah. 2022 titles start here. It starts in January.
Right. That's right.
Starts all the way through managing the entire off season and the setting the lineups and everything.
Being ready for your rookie draft more than your opponents, all that good stuff.
Yep. Having those percentage point advantages over your peers over and over again. Is what it, can I make better decisions more often is kind of how it gets defined. And so if you are in the Mobile area, certainly hit Katie up on Twitter. We've met a number of people over the course of time in Mobile, whether it's folks that write for sites or record podcasts or just folks that are into fantasy football. So it's a broad world and space there. You can hit up on Twitter at FF_Skyler399. I am at Chad Parsons NFL. Reminder about all the premium shows over at UTHDynasty.com. If you want even more, you want to hear Tim Torch on a weekly show, as well as some bonus content, VIP chat, that's over at patreon.com/UTH. And Senior Bowl week is here. And really, I know the Shrine game and a few other things happen earlier in the process. We had a declaration deadline. It seems like a while, but it's only been a week or so. We finally know who's in and out of the class. But the Senior Bowl really is the official start of draft season. And that means the off season is upon us, like Katie said. So we're going to be here every week and every step of the way. So for Katie, myself, Chad, until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.